Hey, yesterday we had a memorial service here. It was a memorial service for a lady named Helen Conover, who's the mother of Patty Gropp. Patty's been here since the 70s at our church, vibrant part of our church, Patty and Larry. But Helen Conover lived to 94 and three-quarter years. That's amazing. And when you're at a memorial service for somebody that's lived a lot of life, you can't help but reflect on your own life. You know, and that's exactly what I did. And I love to reflect and evaluate. And I love to see somebody's story like that. And she had quite a story. Lived through two wars, a Great Depression. Just amazing stuff. Anyway, but the older I get, yeah, I do evaluate a lot and I do reflect a lot. And the older I get, it seems in some ways that truth becomes more simple. I don't know if that happens for you. There's a lot of young people here. But I don't know. For me, the older I get, it seems like truth becomes more simple. And a picture of life that I've been meditating on lately, that's kind of simple, but I believe that sums up life fairly well, is that our life is kind of like a pond. And to have a really good, healthy pond, you have to have really good inflow. And you have to have really good outflow. And if you have really good inflow, fresh water pouring in, and if you have really good outflow, you're going to have a healthy pond. And the same thing is true for our lives. If we have really good, fresh inflow from the Lord and really good, fresh outflow, we're going to have a healthy life. Jesus comes in, and then he wants to go out. Christianity is never meant to be just kept for ourselves. We're to be vessels and channels. You know, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and then he is to be imparted with power to other people. Healthy, vibrant inflow and healthy, vibrant outflow. You know, I'm getting ready to go on at Pullman Christian School, they call it a national parks trip. I'm going to be going with my 17-year-old son, Joshua, as a chaperone to the, you know, for the group. There's 38 of us going and three 15-passenger vans. Please pray. And it's really one of the only times in my life, really, that I use energy drinks. And boy, I do, because I'm hiking with them, and then I'm staying up late planning, and then I'm getting up early planning, and then I'm driving. So anyway, it'll be safe, parents. It will be safe. Did this before. It was good. But anyway, I'm going on this, and I'm thinking about, you know, when you're out hiking and stuff, you know, I use every strategy I can get, but God created us physically. Physically, he created us to need continual input, and there's continual outflow. You know, it's calories in, calories out. Calories a form of energy. You expend energy, you got to get more energy in. You got to refuel all the time. So when I'm out there hiking with these dudes, you know, which as a 52-year-old might seem a little silly hiking with these high school kids, but, you know, I do my best. Anyway, we're going to be at Yosemite and doing some great hiking. But you know what I'm going to have is a hydration pack on. And I'm going to have continual inflow of water into my body, because God created me to need that as I'm sweating, like I won't tell you what, when I'm out there on the trail. And the other thing I do is I put a piece of candy in my mouth, so I have continual caloric input, energy, constantly supplying. God created us to need input as we're living life and there's outflow going. So even physically, so spiritually, love comes in. Love is to go out. Spiritually, forgiveness comes in. Forgiveness is to go out. Spiritually, grace comes in and grace goes out. Power comes in and power goes out. Comfort comes in and comfort goes out. Gifts from God, designed just for us, come in. Gifts are supposed to go out. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one has received, minister. You get it. Inflow, as each one's received. Outflow, minister. It's pretty simple, and yet I think that there's something real powerful for us in this. You know, even finances, you know, money comes in. Money's supposed to go out and be directed for kingdom purposes. You know, and he comes in and he wants to go out. Jesus is going, let me out. That's the formula for a healthy, vibrant, abundant Christian life. You know, I know that tragic things can happen in our life, and painful and difficult things can happen to us. And maybe we've even been victimized, and maybe we have a physical debilitation, and you know, maybe if it's even an addiction that's difficult and tough to get out of. Maybe you don't feel like you have a lot to give. But regardless of what is going on in our lives, we must have godly, fresh inflow into our lives. And we must have godly, fresh outflow out of our lives. There is hope. We all must be tapped into the Lord. And we all have something to give out to others. Even in rehabilitation ministries and programs, you know, I'll use Alcoholics Anonymous for example. There are two key hallmarks for success in rehabilitation from an addiction to alcohol and other things. But two key hallmarks for success. One that they do is they perform community service. They give out. That's a part of the program. You must do that if you want to get better. You must give out. The other thing they do is they have to mentor somebody else that's also struggling and dealing with something. So they have to get their eyes on somebody else, minister to them, and help them out of their problem. And so you get it. There's outflow that must happen in order for us to overcome difficulties in our life. We don't just focus on our problem. We focus on, okay, receiving freshly and then giving out. Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received, freely give. And because this is in the past tense, often I'll put it way in the past. Like, freely I've received back in 1975. I gave my life to the Lord and he did some great things, forgave me a lot of sin and muck and yuck in my life. And because of all that I received back in 1975, I'm continuing to freely give. But you know, as I read that, I had revelation. I go, no. Freely, as I freely received today, the abundant life that he wants to freshly pour into me, out of that fresh receiving, I then will have fresh outflow. I'll freely give out of my life. So it's not just what I received in ancient times. It's what I receive today. It's what I received this morning. It's what I'm receiving even right now as the Holy Spirit's pouring in. But we must freely and abundantly. It's free. Free is good in today's economy. It's free. Freely receive. Receive the abundance that he is not holding back. If you're feeling a little drained and empty, guess what? He's freely giving. The problem is we go to the faucet and we turn off the spigot. You know, the hose is hooked up. That's good. We got connected. We're connected to the Lord. But if the spigot's turned off, it's not doing us any good. So then sometimes we turn the spigot on, but the nozzle's shut off. Then it kind of comes in, but then what good does it do? Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay, first, why do we gather together? Why do we even come to church? Why do we come to church? Seriously, think about it. I mean, we do it. We know it's the right thing, and we know some obvious answers, but why do we gather? Why are we here? What's the ultimate purpose? I know it really feels good, and there's some incredibly great people here. And it's a, you know, it's a joy to come. My gosh, worship was outstanding. I love coming to church. I love it. But why do we gather? You know, we come to be taught from the scriptures and to worship God. We come to have fresh inflow. We are built up. We're filled up. We're edified. We're encouraged. We're strengthened in our faith. Church is like a refueling station in the infrastructure of God's dispensing of who he is. We come to church and we're refueled, we refilled. But then what? Then what do? Well, then we go. We come to church, we're refueled, and then we go out and pour the love of Jesus out to those within our sphere of influence. We take that which we've received and we go. We go and we give it. You know, I don't know one person that I come in contact with in a day that cannot benefit from the love of God. So I've received a bunch of love of God here, but is it just for me? Or am I supposed to go and do something with it? So the title of my message this morning is Come and Go Christianity. It's come and go Christianity. He comes in and he wants to go out. We come and get it. And we go and give it. Come and get it. Go and give it. So we come and get the feast that's prepared. We eat. And then we go and we give it away to other people. But before we can really be good at giving, we must be really good at receiving. You know, we don't just receive when we gather together at a church. You know, we do receive profoundly there and powerfully. But we also can receive on the fly. Let's look at this picture. So we can receive on the fly, and that's a refueling tanker. Actually, they were based out of Fairchild Air Force Base. Actually, you know, Lily Sherman's dad was commander of that base up in Spokane. No wonder she's a good commander. Love it. Worked with her for like 25 years. I forgot, really good at being commanded. Anyway, just an aside, and I love to tease her, and I'm going to hear about it later, and it's going to be awesome. Anyway, this is air refueling or in-flight refueling. It's a process of transferring fuel from one aircraft, the tanker, to another, which is the receiver, during flight. It's a picture of our lives. On the fly, we can receive from the Lord because of John 15:5. We're connected. It says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, so picture that connection. Well, it's gone. But picture that connection of that plane. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So if you're not feeling like you can do anything, check your connection. How's the inflow? Are you connected? Are you receiving fresh life from the Lord? He says, if I abide in him and he abides in me, then we're going to be like really fruity. I get accused of that often. But the fact is, we'll bear much fruit. It's a continual abiding. How do we live this? How do we stay focused and aware of our abiding, our connectedness to God as a branch is connected to a vine? How do we stay aware of that, of our connectedness? Because he promises us that he dwells in us and we are in him. But we need, there's many, many things that need to happen, I think, for us to be aware. And he actually gives us direction in his scripture that addresses this very, very directly. So please listen to the extreme examples, but they're Bible. They're our Bible. And I think he really, really means this. You know, we're to read, we're to talk about, and we're to meditate on his word. How much are we really doing that? We need to read it. We need to talk about it. And we need to meditate on it. That's inflow into our lives. And the reason for that inflow is that we then may observe to do, which would be the outflow. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law, that's the scriptures, shall not depart from your mouth. Wow, that means talking about it. But you shall, and these aren't like, you know, if you feel like it, you should do that. These are commands. You shall meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. How many want a prosperous life? How many want to have success? You know, Failure Magazine doesn't sell real well, but Success Magazine does. You know, and we got a great scripture right here that is actually I think one of the only times, if not the only time, success is used in the scripture. Talk about the word, which means you first need to be exposed to it. Meditate on the word. Really good inflow. It's radical. Our lives will never get away from it. Our lives come with instructions, and we must read them and follow them. There is no other plan. There's not a plan B to that. That is plan, the only plan. It's plan A, and it's the only plan in terms of living a successful life in God. We must have a constant conversation. A constant conversation with God. Ephesians 6:8 says, praying always. You know, I read scriptures like these extreme scriptures, and I'm going, God, do you really mean that? You know, and the older I get, the more I think he really does. I really think he means that. When he says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Wow, what a scripture. But praying always. You know, I think that we can have a continual conversation with God. You know, use your prayer language that he's given you. Use it a lot. You know, why do we pray in our prayer language, our spiritual prayer language, speaking in tongues? Why do we do that? We do that to be edified. I need edified. I need strengthened. I need fresh input and fresh inflow. Do that always. You know, I think that as we're doing life, we can have this sense of connectedness and conversation going on with God. You know, I do it like all the time. I say, Lord, help me. And when I can't find something, Lord, help me. This morning I said it a few times. Lord, help me. And there's a constant conversation going on. Helps us understand and be aware of our connectedness. He also tells us to think of what to think about in order to help manage the inflow in our lives. And we know the scripture, but Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, what? Meditate on these things. Manage the inflow into your mind, because out of what you think, you will act and do. Manage the inflow into your life. There's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of noise trying to command your attention. But you are the gatekeeper of your mind. And he would not direct us to think this way if it were not possible. It is possible to think on only those things. It is possible. And that's supposed to be the guiding factor in our life. Those are supposed to be the boundaries that we set up and the litmus test by which we allow things into our head. We're the gatekeepers of our mind. We can open it to garbage or we can shut it to garbage. We can open it to goodness and godliness or we can shut it to that. We all know about garbage in, garbage out. It doesn't matter how much flow you have going into your life if it's murky, muddy water flowing in. That's what's going to come out. If there's ungodliness coming in, guess what? There's going to be ungodliness coming out. Because the scripture, our instructions for life, even tell us that. Luke 6:45. Read it. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of what has come in, it goes out. So if good comes in, guess what? Good is going to come out. If bad comes in, if evil comes in, evil will go out. It's not real difficult here, but it's profound. We must manage the inflow. There's a lot of noise commanding attention. There's a lot of, and the scripture even says we're drawn away by the desires and lusts of our own heart. So we got to be careful what's in there and make sure that we only have good going in. Life is hard enough. Why make it harder? Manage the inflow. Your music, your media, your movies, all of that. Manage it well. Are we thirsty? Are we thirsty for what the Lord has to offer us? Or is it the things of the world that catch our attention? Is it things that last forever? Or is it the temporal things? You know, we need to be freely washed in the water of His Word. And through repentance, we need to flood our lives with forgiveness and grace and mercy. I love my friend repentance. Because it sets me free from sin and takes the barrier away between me and God so that I can have good, fresh, healthy inflow into my life. Freely bathing in Him, freely immersing myself and receiving the feast that's prepared at the table of heaven. And then, freely give. Jesus promises us in Revelation 21:6, It says, I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely. There's more free stuff from God. Freely to him who thirsts. Are you thirsty? Are you aware of your need? God doesn't just give them a glass of water that's finite and that goes away. No, he gives of a fountain. And guess what? It's an eternal fountain. And guess what? It's an eternal fountain of life. And he gives that to you freely, and it never will run out. And he will continually have what you need. We need to put on our spiritual hydration packs and never take them off. And then after we have received all of that, if there is no outflow out of our lives, guess what happens? We become stagnant. Definition of stagnant. I'll warn you, it's not good. Stagnant, definition. Having no current or flow, and often having an unpleasant smell as a consequence. Lacking freshness. Eventually, all stagnant water begins to stink. And even worse is the fact that these waters become toxic. I've felt that way before. You know, I'll just be extremely honest. I felt like I have at times felt, and it's been within the last month, like I'd better stay away from people because I don't think I like people right now. I've had that thought, and I'm a fairly people-oriented type person. But I thought, I better just stay away because it's not going to be good. Not going to be good. And then I just had to reconnect with the Lord and get some fresh inflow so that I knew that when I was in contact with people, there'd be fresh outflow. But God did, he did rescue me. Amen. And he is gracious and he is good. But you know, that toxicity that we know sometimes can exist in our lives, it becomes a breeding ground if we're stagnant, a breeding ground for bacteria and parasites. Polluted waters cause disease and eventually death. It's not good. I warned you. Even good water or good inflow will become bad, disease-filled over time if there is no outflow. That's the go part of come and go Christianity. In Matthew 18, Jesus gave us, and you know this well, he gave us the great go mission, right? Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You know, that's awesome. I love that. Okay, so at this point, the creator of the universe declares all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You know, if I was there and he was saying that, I'd go, man, I'd better listen to what he's going to say next. Guess what he says next after he's declaring that he has all authority in heaven and earth. The next thing he says is, go! Man, if the creator of my life, who is the authority of all heaven and earth, declares that I had better go, guess what? I'd better go. If I believe that what he says is true and that that's how life should work. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And all this is good, but I'm not going to teach on all that. And lo, I'm going to emphasize this, though. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So he says, go, and I'm going to be with you. And there's going to be a lot of great things that happen. Go, connected to me, fresh inflow. Go and give it away, and I'm going to be with you continuously. Picture the refueling tanker. When Jesus comes into us, he expects to go. He expects us to go. But the fact is, he goes with us. You know, we're not disciples of some ancient teacher who merely left us some wonderful teachings that we get to then read and follow. No, we are disciples of the living Lord who walks with us and who teaches us and nurtures us and restores and empowers us as we go in the world in his name and in his power. That's who we are, and that's what we have. Does your Christianity have some get up and go? I got this thought about a clothing store. You know, we go into a clothing store and we buy clothes. Get these nice new clothes on. We're looking good. It's all nice. Then what do we want to do? We want to go out of the clothing store and we want to show them off. You know, I just wore, I'll confess, I bought some shoes, I wore them out of the store. I did that. You know, how many have ever worn new clothes out of the store, right? You're just so excited about it, right? Oh, this is good. And so my other shoes did have holes in the bottom, so anyway, but now we go to the clothing store, we get fresh clothes, we go out, we show them off, and guess what? They eventually wear out, and then we go back to the clothing store and we buy more. And then we go out again. But guess where, what? We don't live in the clothing store. And what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to come to church. We're supposed to receive some new clothes. We receive fresh clothes. We receive new clothes. We receive God's love, His grace, His compassion, His forgiveness. We receive the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. And then we go out and we pour it all out within our sphere of influence. You know, I'm saying this with some energy and enthusiasm, and I don't want to overwhelm anybody. But pouring out with that which we've received is not that hard, really. Sometimes it's a smile. Sometimes it's just being aware of somebody. Sometimes it's just really listening well. It's engaging somebody. So I'm not talking about something that's like really, really hard. I'm just saying that you have a lot, and that's what I'm trying to emphasize, so that as you go out, you realize what you have. And why we gather here, we gather to get fresh clothes on so that we can go out into our homes and with our families and roommates and in our workplace and schools and neighborhoods, and we can pour the love of Jesus out to people that are thirsty and desperately need it. Then we come back to church again next week and we repeat. You may even feel drained when you come to church and really needy when you come because of all the pouring out you've done during the week. And that's okay. Matter of fact, maybe it's not just okay. Maybe it's what should happen. Maybe we should feel a little needy and drained and weak when we come because of all the pouring out that's happened in our life. And then we come and we refuel all. In addition to refueling on the fly, but there's something about gathering together that's really powerful. You know, if we pour our lives out to others, guess what? We're not going to be full of ourselves. And I think when we're not full of ourselves, guess what? We like ourselves a lot better. And then we enter into blessing. In Acts 20:35, it says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. More blessed to give than receive. So if you want to be blessed, receive. But if you want to be more blessed, then give. As we give, it makes room for more to come in. We receive more blessing. It's a blessing to receive, but I tell you what, it is more blessed to give. I want a more blessed life. So open up the floodgates and let them out. You know, sometimes we don't even know what we have, though, till we begin to give it away. The disciples, you know, they thought they just had a couple fish and a couple loaves. That's all they thought they had till they started giving it away. And by the way, Jesus made them give out the fish and the loaves to everybody. And as they started giving away, they realized, oh, whoa, look at what we have. I thought we just had a couple fish and a couple loaves, but we had enough to feed 5,000. Sometimes we don't know what we have till we start giving it away. It's kind of like the hose hooked to the faucet, the spigot's on, but the nozzle's off. There's a lot of potential there, but you have no idea what you have till you turn that nozzle on. You're going, woo, look at it go. And guess what? It keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going as long as the spigot's on and the nozzle, it keeps going. And that's really a great picture of what God has for us. We don't know what we have until we start to give it away. And then we start receiving the abundance of the Lord and entering into the abundant life that He has for us. We're created for this kind of life. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship. So if you have a problem with me, I'm God's fault. And the fact is, we are all God's workmanship. You know, if the creator of all things decided to create people, guess what, for His pleasure, it says, He's not going to create something He doesn't like. He likes you. How tall you are, your ears, your nose, your body style. He likes it all because he created it. You're his workmanship. And guess what? You are created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're created for outflow. We're meant to pour out. And guess what? He prepared this idea beforehand that we should walk in these things. We're created for this kind of life, good works, not to get salvation. And please never get confused by that. Not to get salvation, but because of the abundant, amazing salvation that's been poured into us. And because of that, then we go and we pour that salvation, that saving grace, out to the sphere of influence that God has allowed us, has placed us in. This is going to get practical here real quick. He wants us to pour out and give out to our families. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them when you feel like it to your children. And you shall, think about them. And you shall," no, it doesn't say that. "You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your home, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up," which pretty much means all the time. I think you could have said all the time there, and that would have worked. "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, not forget them. Put on the frontlets between your eyes, not forget them. Post them on your doorposts, so when you're going in and out of your home, you're aware of the instructions that God has given us for life. His word. We shall talk about these things and meditate in them." Oh, and give them to our family. But he says, teach them diligently to our children. Then, we're also supposed to pour out to each other. It says in Hebrews 13:16, "But do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." That word share is the word koinonia. It's where we get communion. It's where we get the idea of fellowship, one with another. And it can mean to share what we have with one another. So it's the idea of community. And you have to study that out to get that, but that's what's there. Koinonia, community. And we're supposed to, in that community, pour the love of God out and give the gifts that he's given us to each other. And then we're supposed to pour out, outflow is supposed to go to the needy. Now this is getting down to some serious stuff. And James 1:27 says, pure. Not that the rest of this wasn't serious. I've just been joking so far. No, actually, this is stuff that's close to my heart, and this is where I really get challenged, and I want to grow. And I think as a body of Christ, universal, we need to continue to grow in this. And there's a lot of great attention being put in these areas. But James 1:27 says, in the New Living Translation, says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Basically, if you look at orphans and widows as representing the weak and the needy and the outcast of society, that's who Jesus came and spent time with and tried to reach. Matter of fact, on the Sermon on the Mount, he confronted every group of people. He confronted the religious people. He confronted the rich people. The people that he did not confront were the poor and the needy, the orphan and the widow. He had compassion on them. If we have the heart of the Lord, we're going to not be corrupted with the things of the world, but we're going to look for those in need and pour the love of Jesus out and the resources of heaven out to them. I have a couple examples of some people that are doing this, and there's a lot of examples, and I could have selected many, but I'm going to pick one that's pretty close to home, and it's actually my son, Jake, and I'm just extremely proud of him. And he's doing something that's really close to my heart, but he's doing it. I've thought about it. But he works down at the Northwest Children's Home in Lewiston. And he works with troubled teens and people who've been hurt, people who've been neglected and abused and sometimes utterly rejected. And I know that that's exactly where Jesus would go. I admire Jake for doing that. But guess what? He often will come home depleted and heavy and really burdened, desperately needing Jesus to refuel him. It's not even a high-paying job. It should be. But I really admire him for doing it. And tell you, that's what's on my heart. I want to want to reach the kind of people that Jesus did. You know, it's the people that were self-sufficient and had things, they didn't come to the wedding feast. Went to the highways and byways and got the needy people. People that really needed him. Okay, another example is, many of you remember Nikki Shirgi. She was a part of our congregation. And Matt and Nikki, some great people. Matt works as a genetic scientist. And Nikki is an activist. And she's awesome. And, they adopted two kids while they were here. And now they have a family of 6 adopted children. And I think we may have a picture. Yeah, there they are. There's Matt and Nikki and their 6 kids. Nikki not only attended here, she worked here. We worked together, and she was a very enthusiastic person. And so I can completely see Nikki doing this. And this, she has a website. You might even want to write it down and look at it. It's awesome. It's called Rock a Child's World. Doesn't that sound like Nikki? Rockachildsworld.org. Rock a Child's World. And this is a quote from Nikki. I just can't get them out of my head. They aren't just names and faces somewhere in the state of Texas, which is where they live now. These are real children, like you and I. They have hopes and dreams and discouragements and victories, and they all have a story. Each one of them deserves a loving home. Each one of them deserves a second chance at life. Each one of them deserves hope. And she goes on to say, we are an adopted family, all 6 of our children. And my heart for this ministry is to honor my kids who all spent time in foster care and do all that I can to be a voice for the waiting kids in Texas and eventually America. There is much to be done to bring these kids home. Together, we can rock a child's world. Isn't that awesome? Love it. She's trying to, about 12,000 kids in foster care in Texas that are candidates for adoption. And she's trying to get those 12,000 kids home. Her kind of goal is to bring them home. And she's trying to, she's adopted 6. They're kind of doing their part. But there's 12,000. Her goal isn't just the 6, but the 12,000. Let's bring them all home. There's endeavors happening in churches throughout our country, just so you know, where in churches they're doing training on being foster parents and adopting so we can bring the children of America into homes and see their lives change. And I'm challenged. I haven't done that, okay? I'm challenged. And I just want to keep this on the forefront of my heart and mind and see where the Lord leads and what happens. My wife's not here. I'm not saying we're going to necessarily adopt soon, but if there's anything I could do to get the word out and... I'm stirred. I love that. I love that. I think the body of Christ should do more of that. We have families in our congregation that are doing that. And they're my heroes. They're people I admire. Even on crew on Saturday, we had a crew. And there's going to be a lot more of this happening, but where we're finding, talking to the senior center in our city and finding out senior citizens that can't do some work in their home, and then a crew from our church goes and helps them do what they can't do. Happened Saturday. CJ led the crew. If you haven't been coming to Saturday crew and that gets you going, come. We're going to be doing more of that kind of thing. We're finding needs out there, and all of us can be out there discovering what those needs are. And not only are we supposed to pour out to our families, each other, the needy, we're supposed to even give to our enemies. Oh, gosh, God has a high standard. But I think he only has a high standard because he knows how big he is. And he also knows what he has done and the example he has set for us. That's why he has a high standard. It's scripture says his ways and thoughts are higher than ours. And man, we're supposed to be on an upward trend in our thinking and in our actions and really tapping into his thoughts about how life should be lived. In Matthew 5, 43, 44, and this is the Sermon on the Mount, and I love the Sermon on the Mount. It says, you have heard that it was said. And whenever he says that, that means it was wrong. You heard wrong. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. He really developed the thought. You could kind of get away with it and dismiss it if it just said, love your enemies. But then he went on and on and on. Think about the people you don't like. Guess what? You're supposed to outflow the love of God to them and give it to them. That must mean you better do some really good receiving first, right? But guess what? He's big enough and he has the resources of heaven to pour into you. Okay, so we can't talk about come and go Christianity and the great go mission without addressing our Lord's command to love our neighbors, right? We can't talk about going out into this great vast mission field, reaching all nations, when the Lord sums up his commandments by telling us to love our neighbor. I wonder what he means there. The more I've studied, and I've done some serious study about this, the more I've studied, what I've discovered is he means to love our neighbor. There's a lot of theological discussion on who's our neighbor in today's connected society, and it has grown. And I think our neighbor is whoever we come in contact with. I believe that. And we do have a sphere of influence. I believe that's our neighbor. But I believe at a very base level, and I'm going to get real practical here. It's going to be meddling, and I'm meddling with myself here. I think he means the 8 homes that surround your home. The 3 across the street, the 3 behind you, the homes on each side. If you live in the country, just work with me, okay? Work with me. If you live in a dorm, it's, you know, you can kind of, you know, extrapolate the idea, you know, whatever, apply it. But I think he means our neighbors and the people that surround us. I'm going to meddle even a little further here. And actually, you can write this down. If you haven't been taking notes, this would be good to take notes on. Because this is the takeaway for come and go Christianity. We need to love our neighbors as ourselves. You see, it says that in Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's Bible. So right now, can you write down the names of the 8 neighbors you have, of 8 homes around you, that surround yours? Can you write down their names? Do you know their name? Because it's really hard to love somebody if you don't know their name. You might love them in your heart, but they will have no clue. Number 2, can you state a fact about them? Do you know something about their life? And then number 3, have you engaged in conversation enough that you may even know of a need or a concern that they may have, that you could pray for, or that you could just listen to and have some compassion, that you could relate to because you've gone through it, and comfort those with which the comfort you've received? You know what? I can't do this. And I thought about, gosh, should I even say this? I have no credibility. I haven't done all 8 yet. But the fact is, I'm stirred up. And I think we need to love our neighbors. And if all the Christians in Pullman did that, we'd turn the city upside down, because people desperately need, and they don't know it, but they want the love of Jesus. And if we did that in our city, and if every Christian in our state did that, and in our nation, guess what? Things would be radically different. Come and go Christianity. We come and we get filled up, and we go home and we pour out in love to our neighbors. Now, very practically, this is a great time of year for this message, because people are coming outdoors again. Maybe not immediately this afternoon, but yesterday they were out. They're coming outdoors again, and it's easier to connect with our neighbors and to have conversation. But are we too busy just going to and fro that we forget to come and go and bring the gospel, bring the love of Jesus to our neighbors? Let's reach our community this summer. You know, our church historically has been very focused on campus ministry. Pastor Phil's really tried to bring a real heart to reach our community with the love of Jesus and to make a difference. That's why we want to help the old people. We want to help needy people. That's why we give to the food bank. And we're trying to do more and more. And there's a lot of people that are involved out in our community meeting needs. We want to do it more and more. And we want to reach our neighbors. Let's let this summer be an incredible summer of growth. Just because there's not new students coming for a new semester doesn't mean our church can't grow. And when I say grow, I'm not after numbers. I'm after people being radically transformed and touched by the power of God, by the love of God, through people that care and simply express that care because they know how much they've been given. They can't hold it in. They have to let it out to somebody. Today is our small group rally Sunday. Isn't that awesome? It's good. So in some way, on the broader definition of neighbor, you have an opportunity to choose your neighbor today. But small groups really do create opportunities for really good inflow and really good outflow. And that's part of not neglecting the gathering together so that we can be edified and strengthened and bring our gifts to the table and impart to somebody else. As a matter of fact, there's some great scripture that go along with that. It says in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, and get this, whenever we talk about the body of Christ, we're talking about the body of Christ himself. He's the head, and we're his body, and we're connected to him, and he guides and directs what we do. That's what's supposed to happen. We are his body. And it says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so we're supposed to be bodybuilders. You know, Jesus wants a buff body. Jesus wants to be ripped. Okay, so we gotta work out. You know, and there's some inflow and there's some outflow. Calories in, calories out. Getting ready for this national park trip. I can relate to this. I, at the Ecuador auction, I bought this auction item at Snap Fitness for 4 personal training sessions. It would have been better advertised 4 personal torture sessions. Couldn't walk for a long time after the first one. I think the person was really having a lot of fun watching me suffer. Anyway. But I learned that I could do a lot more than I thought I could. When somebody was standing there telling me what to do, I asked her, I go, does your husband let him do this? Does he let you do this to him? She goes, no way. That should have been my first warning. No, I do it to other victims that buy whatever, anyway. No, we're supposed to edify ourselves, you know, edify, well, what the scripture says, every part does its share. We bring our gifts to the table, you know, and every joint supplies. So you got a joint and there's a receiving part and there's a giving part in that joint. And so we're supposed to be supplying joint store. No, don't hear that. We're supposed to. You understand what I'm trying to say. That's the evil part that I was talking about earlier. No, anyway. Hebrews, moving on. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 in the ESV says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So sit, as you're sitting by the person next to you, consider how you might stir them up to love and good works. You know, kind of nudge them a little bit and, you know, think about some creative ways to stir them up to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. And one thing I can guarantee you is that day after day, the day is getting nearer of Jesus' return. It's nearer and nearer every day. And so it says more and more we're supposed to consider how we might stir each other up unto love and good works. Why would he tell us that? I think he tells us that because he knows we're going to need to be stirred up to love and good works. Because he knows we're going to default to something else. So we've got to be stirred up to do that which we're called to do, created even to do. Amen. So sign up for a small group today and let the flow in and let the flow out. Let's make sure our Christianity has some get up and go. So get up and go sign up for a small group, which is what we're going to do right now. We have rally centers. So please do that. A very practical response. Get up and go sign up for a small group so you can continue to be strengthened by both giving out and receiving. Amen. And then let's be sure this summer to love our neighbors as ourselves. Get to know their name. What's their name? Hard to love somebody if you don't know their name. Get to know a fact about them. Can you state a fact about your 8 neighbors? I'm challenging you. I mean, I'm serious. I don't want this to, like, I believe this is serious. We've read the scripture a lot, and I need to do this. So I'm getting serious with myself. And then the third thing, can you state a fact or a concern, a concern or a need that they may have? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you've given our lives a lot of purpose. when we feel like our lives don't matter, God, all we have to do is go to your instructions and say, oh, okay, that's how we're supposed to live this life. And Lord, for the difficulties we have, we know you're big enough to help us. And God, we are needy, and we do cling to you, and we thank you that you pour into us continuously. God, help us to be good pourers out. God, we open up the floodgates of our church, and we let the love pour through indeed. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So, there will be people up here that will pray with you. If you haven't jumped into the flow of the river of God and need to give your life to him for the first time, jump in. Come up, and there will be people that will very compassionately take your hands and pray with you. And if you just have a need, you'd like to agree with somebody in prayer, please come up. Get that inflow going. So, and we do need each other. That's why we don't neglect the gathering together. And that's why we pray together. And then also small group rally. So let's get up and go sign up for some small groups. God bless you guys.